Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I hope you're having a great day today. Today's best of message, I believe, will be an encouragement to you. We hope it will. It's one of the ones that folks especially registered that they enjoyed, and we would love for it to bless you on this day. If you want to be in contact with us, we would be so grateful to hear from you. You can visit our website. You can also call 866-41-ABIDE. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you're listening. If you're not in a position to give right now, you can still call and let us know that you're praying for us and that you appreciate the broadcast. We'd be encouraged by your calls and by your prayers. God bless you.
Matthew chapter 6, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I get a lot of emails from various folks about a variety of subjects. A lot of the stuff that is sent to me has to do with the economy, has to do with what's happening in Washington, the fact that Congress in the first part of this year has spent three times as much money as they have taken in income. Three times as much. And that's when we were already in horrible debt. But I want you to understand, this is not without moral significance. Our financial decisions as a country have a moral dimension. Because if what you do as a government is to absolutely devalue the currency, you're robbing not only future generations, but you're robbing the people who have been trying to do the right thing and save for a long time. If I set aside a certain portion of my pay and so forth, thinking that when the government is not able to take care of me in old age, I'll have some savings. And then the government not only can't keep Social Security solvent, but makes it so that all the money I've put into savings is worth enough to buy a loaf of bread. That's called robbery, theft. And that's what our government has been doing for quite a while. Both political parties are guilty. This is not a partisan statement. It is simply a statement of reality. Now, when I get those emails, I can get really angry, or I can realize God is doing exactly what he said he was going to do, and that is causing people to reap what they sow. I don't believe that greed is a uniquely American problem. There are poor people in the two-thirds world who are just as greedy as any American on Wall Street. But I can definitely say that greed is one of the besetting sins of America, and that the church in the United States is not at all immune. In fact, there was an article not that long ago suggesting that one of the next waves of foreclosures in this country would not just be commercial properties in general, but churches in specific. Churches that have way overextended themselves, borrowing tons of money in order to build things that they thought were really going to be great. And now they don't have the money to pay for them. Because they borrowed, as if God didn't have enough. Those of you who know the way that the ranch operates know that we operate on the basis of when God provides the funds, we'll do it. There's a reason for that. It's biblical. I would like to share with you this morning, not all found in this text we read, but all related to this text we read, 7 financial principles from Scripture. There's more about money in the Bible than what I'm going to share with you this morning. But these are 7 important principles. The first is, God owns everything. God owns everything. Now, why is that? Well, because He created it. He's the ruler of the universe. He made everything. That includes us. And so GM doesn't just belong to the federal government and the other stockholders. GM belongs to God. All the land in the United States, all the oil reserves in the ground, all the natural gas, all the coal in the mountains, all the cattle on 1,000 hills, everything that exists, not just on this planet, but in the universe, all belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. God is the owner. Now, if we understand that, it's going to change the way we relate to the creation. Because Romans 1 tells us that at the root of our disaster is that we have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and we've worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. So if we're going to understand money and finances, and we're going to get rid of greed in our lives, we need to realize that God owns everything. Say it one more time. God owns everything. Principle number 2. I owe everything to God. I owe everything to God. Everything I have, I owe to Him. We couldn't draw breath apart from God. I've shared with some of you before that when I was in college, I got a job as the first janitor of the new college library in Montreat. And I scrubbed the floors and did all this stuff and worked hard for the money. But then I was asked to sing at a wedding, and the people wanted to pay me, and I just felt awkward about that, because I thought, you know, I'm happy to sing at the wedding, but being paid to sing, that just doesn't seem right, because my voice is a gift. Isn't that humble of me? I'm just so humble that I think of it as a gift. It's a gift. It's just a gift. And God said, you don't understand. The ability to scrub floors is a gift. You couldn't do that if I hadn't given you that ability. Go ahead and take the money for the wedding, and if you want to give it to somebody, give it to somebody. But stop acting as if somehow this I earn. This is a gift. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. Being a janitor is a gift. That's why you need to be the best janitor you can be. Whatever you do, you need to thank God you can do it, and you need to do it with all your might for the glory of God. I owe everything to God, because we wouldn't be here if it weren't for Him. We wouldn't have breath. We wouldn't have food. We wouldn't have shelter. We wouldn't have anything. Well, I built this. With what? I got some lumber. Oh, really? And who made the trees? Did you do that too? Go back and read the end of the book of Job, when God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I mean, we need to get over ourselves and realize everything we've got we owe to God, right? So principle number 2, say it with me, I owe everything to God. Not just some stuff, everything. Point number 3, God has a plan for me. God has a plan for me. God has a plan. God knows the end from the beginning. Before there was time, because God created time. Before there was time, God had it all figured out. God isn't just remarkably smart. He literally knows everything. And so God has a plan for me, for my life. And therefore, when I'm in the midst of my life and I can't figure out what to do, where to go, how it's going to work out, I can chill because I'm not the one writing the story. I'm the one experiencing the story. But God's got a plan. And it's all mapped out. And for his children, it's a very good plan. Romans 12 tells us that as we surrender our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, we will be able to demonstrate that God's will for our lives is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, can you get any better than perfect? Of course not. So God has a plan for me. Point number four, he will meet my every need if I'm walking in obedience. He will meet my every need if I'm walking in obedience. Let's suppose that 10 years from now, you're working for a major corporation, and they tell you that they need you to go to Albuquerque. You do not at that point say, oh no, Albuquerque, how am I going to get there? How will I pay for the ticket? Where will I stay? How will I pay for meals? If your employer sends you to Albuquerque, your employer will take care of the transportation, the lodging, the meals, because your employer is the one sending you. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. If you're doing what you're told, the bills are paid. That does not mean that you can say, well, if I'm going to Albuquerque, I'm going to need a group of people to act as my bodyguards and carry my luggage so that I don't have to. And I'm going to need a personal chef, and I think I'd like a trainer to go with me. Yeah. No, your boss decides what you need, not you. And if your boss says, we're going to rent you a car and you're going to drive to Albuquerque, then they're going to rent you a car and you're going to drive to Albuquerque. I want you to understand that doing the will of God does not entitle you to whatever you feel like you might like to have. But God will provide everything that you need. God will provide everything that you need. And if I'm walking in disobedience, I may end up spending some of what I needed for my needs on stuff I didn't need, and therefore having a shortage for what I need. If I were to give one of my children $20 and say, I want you to use this to get a pizza for supper, and they decided to use it instead to light a fire, well, what are you going to do for pizza? Well, I need some more money. No, you spent your $20 on starting a fire. You understand? If you misuse what God entrusts to you, you may not have some of what you need, but it's because you are not walking in obedience. If I'm walking in obedience, he's going to supply everything I need.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone and
Here's the next piece. I do have an enemy. Satan will seek to put me in bondage to money. Satan will seek to put me in bondage to money. Now notice I said he'll seek to do that. It doesn't mean he's going to do that. It means he's going to try. And there are a number of ways that he can be successful in that. One is, if you're not careful what you look at, you can become greedy. Right after Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 tells us not to store up on earth treasures for ourselves, but rather to be storing up in heaven, investing in God's kingdom, then Jesus says, be careful what you look at. My experience has been that I can feel real good about how I'm doing financially until I start looking at things I shouldn't look at. It may be something as simple as a catalog that comes in the mail. It may be a flyer from, J. Crew or Bass Outdoor Outfitters, L.L. Bean, whatever. It may be some catalog for a company that sells woodworking tools or kitchen appliances or whatever your thing is. And you were doing just fine and thought you had everything you needed till you started looking in the catalog and realized that yours doesn't look like that. And now it's like, I wonder if we could afford to get one of these. Be careful what you look at, because Satan will use your eyes to draw your heart after things you don't need and try and tempt you to spend money you don't have to buy those things you don't need, and pretty soon you're going to be in financial bondage. You're going to be in financial bondage not because God doesn't supply everything you need when you're walking in obedience, but because you allowed yourself to get hooked. Have you ever watched the underwater video of a fish getting hooked? I love those videos. It's really cool because you can see the fish thinking. You know, this thing lands there. It's called a lure. And the lure looks neat, like something good to eat. It's like, wow. And the fish kind of swims around, looks at it. What are they chewing? And you can see, yeah, I mean, you just see the wheels turning there as the fish thinks about it. And then all of a sudden there's a little action in the water and the fish goes, "Hoof!" And it grabs hold of that thing and it got what it wanted. It got the lure. Problem is there's a hook in the lure. And now, instead of the fish having the lure has the fish. And the fish is on the line. It happens all the time with us. I mean, that's really dumb, isn't it? But we see this thing and it's like, oh, that looks good. And then we go for it and we're caught. We're trapped. Satan will seek to put me in bondage to money. You need to understand you have an enemy. He's out to destroy you. And one of the most prevalent ways that people end up in a mess is in bondage to money. That's why Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. Because so many people are trying to do both. I want to serve God, but I really have to have this. No, you don't have to have that. You don't have to have that. Well, not only that, the path to freedom is obedience. The path to freedom is obedience. Let's suppose that I have not yet succumbed to bondage in the area of my finances. I'm walking with the Lord. He's supplying everything I need. How do I keep from getting
drawn into financial bondage by the enemy. Just keep obeying God. Just keep obeying God. If you will walk in obedience, you'll have everything you need. We already established that, okay? If you're walking in obedience, God will supply everything you need. My God will supply all you need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a promise from God. But what if I'm already in bondage? What if I've already made mistakes? I've already messed up. I've already created a disaster. Now I'm on the line for a bunch of money I don't have. What am I supposed to do? Obey. Obey God. As you obey God, you will in time reap what you sow. And God is quite able to handle your mess. God doesn't look at it and say, oh, well, I'm sorry, you owe how much? Sorry, that's beyond my limit. I just can't do anything about that. Okay? No, God is able to take care of your problem, whatever your problem is. But he may love you so much that he'll let you take quite a while to get out of your mess, even with his help, because he wants to teach you some things along the way and help you remember not to do that again. So, the path to freedom, whether it's staying out of bondage or getting out of bondage, the path to freedom is obedience. The path to freedom is obedience. If you got into the mess by violating God's financial principles, you will not get out of the mess by violating God's financial principles. I cannot count the number of times that people have told me, in all seriousness in counseling, well, I know that I need to do this, but I can't do that right now because I'm in this situation. Well, no. If you know you need to do this, then this is what you need to do. Oh, but I can't because I've got... You need to do what God says for you to do. Now, let's take an example that is sometimes misunderstood. What about tithing? In the Old Testament, God required that his people give tithes. That is a 10% piece of their income. Okay? There were actually multiple tithes in the Old Testament, not just 10% like Baptists like to preach it today. Okay? But in the Old Testament, it was actually multiple tithes. But there was right off the top, whatever income comes in, right off the top, you give 10% to the Lord's work. Automatic 10%. That's a good principle to follow.
I thought that in the New Testament, we are no longer under law, we're under grace.
That's absolutely true. And so what you need to understand is not that 10% belongs to the Lord, but 100% belongs to the Lord. And you're to use not just 90% of it for yourself and 10% for the Lord, but 100% of it for the Lord. Okay? Everything you've got belongs to him. You owe everything to him. And so it's not, well, God gets this part, I get this part, and hey, it's good, I get 90%. No, the whole thing belongs to the Lord. Giving 10% is a great way of reminding yourself that 100% of it belongs to the Lord. If every time you get some money, the first 10% goes into the Lord's work, it's a good way to remember it's all God's.
Okay, well, Pastor, I've been seeking a tithe now for a while. This
actually is drawn from multiple conversations that I've had with people, okay?
I've been seeking a tithe, but I just need your advice here because I'm having trouble tithing right now. I've been trying to keep it up, but the last 18 months, I'm in real estate, and the last 18 months I have had no income. So should I still be tithing?
And I tell them, absolutely. Absolutely. You need any help with the math? Okay. Because what's 10% of zero? Zero. 10% of zero. As a matter of fact, I find when you have no income, you can go ahead and give 50%. Okay? Yeah, I mean, you understand? What is 50% of zero? Zero.
Well, hey, let's just give a whole 100%, shall we?
You can tithe no matter what your income is. You can always tithe. You can always give 10%. Because if your income is really, really high, you can certainly afford that. And if your income is really, really low, it's not that much anyway. And it's just a reminder that everything you have belongs to God. And I guarantee you, based on the authority of God's word, you will be better off tithing on a low income than not tithing on a low income. Because when you act in faith and do what God tells you to do, you will be blessed. God will meet every need if you're walking in obedience. And the path to financial freedom and the path to every kind of true freedom is obedience. Obedience. Last point, seventh principle. God wants to make me a channel of blessing, a vehicle for his grace. God wants to make me a channel of blessing, a vehicle for his grace. You know what that means? That means God wants to use you to bless other people. And so God will give you stuff that's not for you, it's for you to share. And I'm telling you, on the one hand, the times that I've gotten this right, it's been the most joyful, thrilling thing for me. But I've got to also tell you, I don't always get this right. I have this nasty habit. When God gives me stuff, I always think it's for me. And then God has to say, Jim, it's not for you. God gives us stuff and we think it's for us. Well, God will meet all of our needs. And in fact, he tends to do more because he loves giving good gifts to his children. But we need to realize and start gearing our minds to understand that God's intention for us is that as he pours out blessings in our lives, we're supposed to be passing it along. And my experience has been, as I go ahead and trust God and give, God doesn't run out of stuff. But you can't serve the stuff. You got to serve God. He wants to make you a channel of blessing, a vehicle of his grace. Now, as I said, these are just seven basic principles. There's a lot more in Scripture. God warns us against debt. He forbids dishonesty. He warns us not to be selfish and impatient. He warns us against co-signing. He warns us against laziness. He commands us to work hard. And he establishes hierarchy in the home. But these seven principles, whether you're a kid or an adult, whether you're rich or poor, these seven principles, I believe, are vital and basic. And I hope that for you this day, they are life-giving.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org. Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.